Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. In a recent program, I talked about the ongoing persecution of Jews around the world, and some didn't quite like to hear that. But today, I'd like to continue with this topic and show you some more incidents and occurrences and give you some more facts which you are probably not aware of to show you how dangerous this whole situation has become. And it's not just talking about an attack on the state of Israel. Now, that's included. I'm talking about the Jewish faith. Now, of course, I'm not Jewish, but this doesn't mean that I can overlook and ignore what is happening to our Jewish brothers. Notice what the Time wrote on August 31. 7 months ago, Israel and the United States postponed a massive joint military exercise that was originally set to go forward just as concerns were brimming that Israel would launch a strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. The exercise was rescheduled for late October and appears likely to go forward on the cusp of the U.S. presidential election. But it won't be nearly the same exercise. Well-placed sources in both countries have told Time that Washington has greatly reduced the scale of U.S. participation, slashing by more than two-thirds the number of American troops going to Israel and reducing both the number and potency of missile interception systems at the core of the joint exercise. Basically, what the Americans are saying is, "We don't trust you," a senior Israeli military official tells Time. Later on, the article says, "In the current political context, the U.S. logic is transparent," says Israeli analyst Ephraim Inbar. "I think they don't want to insinuate that they are preparing something together with the Israelis against Iran. That is the message," says Inbar, director of the Begin Sadat Center for Strategic Studies at Bar Ilan University. "Trust? We don't trust them. They don't trust us." My friends, the Bible has prophesied a long time ago that the relationship between Israel, the state of Israel, and the United States of America will deteriorate. We are seeing this happening right now, in front of our very eyes. The Times of Israel wrote on August 31, "Israel responded bitterly on Friday to comments by the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, who said on Thursday that he didn't want to be complicit if Israel were to strike at Iran's nuclear facilities. Israeli commentators made much Friday of Dempsey's use of the word complicit. The U.S. Army chief could have said he didn't want to be Israel's partner or its ally in an attack on Iran," noted analyst Oren Nahari on Channel 1 State TV, "but instead Dempsey employed a term with criminal connotations." On the same channel, analyst Ari Shavit said that the events of the past week showed that both diplomacy and sanctions have failed, and yet the U.S. was doing nothing to ratchet up pressure on Iran. Given the U.S. publicly stressed disinclination to act, Israel is being pushed into a corner in a way that is really dangerous, said Shavit. "If all these moderate players in the U.S. and Europe are so concerned about a dangerous Israeli action against Iran, why haven't they taken any meaningful action?" he asked. But as I said, my friends, this is not just directed against the state of Israel, the Zionist regime, as some put it. What we are seeing is an underlying anti-Semitic development around the world. I want to concentrate right now on Germany and Europe, but it's no different here in the United States. And let this be a warning to all of us, because what's happening over there can very well happen over here. Deutsche Welle reported on September 1. "An anti-Semitic attack has caused consternation in Berlin. Politicians have called for more moral courage. Jews in the German capital have expressed fear, while Jewish organizations worldwide demand more security. The attack was completely unexpected for Rabbi Daniel Alter, who was walking down the road with a six-year-old daughter. Four young men jumped the 53-year-old, beat him viciously, and threatened to kill his child. Alter, who later underwent surgery for a cheekbone fracture, described his attackers as Arab-looking. But the beating didn't place in one of Berlin's districts with a large number of Arab immigrants. It happened in affluent suburb Friedenau, southwest of the city. Since the incident on Tuesday, several members of Berlin's Jewish community have described their negative experiences when appearing recognizably Jewish on the street in any district of the city. Many have taken to hiding their kippahs under a baseball cap. Rabbi Andreas Nacharma, a well-respected representative of the city's Jewish community, has said he tries to avoid public transport. In most cases, the attacks are motivated by far-right extremism. There are many reports of an aggressive anti-Jewish and anti-Israeli sentiment in certain schools and among young Arab people. But the article of Deutsche Welle goes on to say this: the outrage over the attack against Alter is also part of a wider context. Not only is Berlin still a city closely associated with the persecution of Jews by the Nazi regime, and many Jews are deeply concerned by the current legal debate over circumcision. The president of the Conference of European Rabbis, Rabbi Pinchas Goldschmidt, who is the chief rabbi of Moscow, said on Friday that Germany's Jewish community was currently, quote-unquote, at a crossroads. He said it was becoming clearer, quote, that there is a conflict in Germany between those who truly respect freedom and tolerance and those who would like to see an end of the German Jewish community. Jews, Goldschmidt said, were being faced with narrow-minded humanist activists and violent thugs. Many believe that what is being threatened is nothing short of the successful restoration of Jewish life in Germany after the Shoah, the Holocaust. I'd like to conclude today with a lengthy quote from the Times of Israel, which was published on August 31, to show you the magnitude of what is happening. This article refers to Jewish persecution in Europe, not just Germany. Notice to these and listen to these alarming facts. It says, on Sunday, 27 countries across Europe will celebrate the annual European Day of Jewish Culture 2012. Anti-Semitism on and off has been a growing and disconcerting phenomenon in Europe during the last decade and a half. We should not mistake an enthusiastic embrace of dead Jews and their activities or of living Jews and their active participation in Western culture as a sign that Jews are fully welcome. When Jews wish to pray regularly in the European synagogues, they can only do so at their peril or under heavy security. Chances are they will be beaten up here and there. It has happened before. It will happen again. It rarely gets more than the perfunctory condemnation of a society that deep down still feels uncomfortable when Jews dress, eat, and pray like Jews. Jews who wish to impart their children with a Jewish education know their little ones will grow sheltered in the golden cage of a caring Jewish school, happy islands with no anti-Semitism inside, thanks to the barbed wire and high walls, plus around-the-clock security service outside. They also know that metal detectors and police patrols will not always deter those who thirst for Jewish blood, as Jews in Toulouse, and ask no further, though plenty of others could tell you stories late into the night of how Jewish toddlers grow accustomed to cops with sniffer dogs and machine guns outside their kindergartens. Nor are Jews at liberty to express open, unabashed, and unconditional support for Israel. Sooner or later, that invites scorn and the occasional abuse, both verbal and physical. What's funny about facing criminal charges for circumcising your newborn sons and explosive charges when going to a synagogue? A European Day of Jewish Culture can no longer hide the fact of a widening assault on the most fundamental facets of Jewish identity in today's Europe. The concerted efforts from all corners of the political spectrum to ban circumcision of newborn Jewish boys and the ritual slaughter of animals according to Jewish dietary laws. All this is done in the name of liberal values. Ritual slaughter becomes cruelty to animals. Circumcision becomes an assault on free choice for toddlers to keep their foreskins intact. And the proverbial demonization of Israel as a 21st century version of apartheid has become the backdoor access for anti-Semites to join the liberal bandwagon of one standard for Jews and a different one for all other nations. What makes Jews what they are, ultimately, is not their jokes or their motives or their occasional literary and artistic contributions to Western culture or their movies. It's a mark in their flesh that solemnly and permanently affirms their commitment to the laws of their forefathers. The head covers and prayer shawls they wear, daily for the pious, occasionally for everyone else, to remind themselves of their Creator and the covenant that binds them to His laws, that which they can and cannot eat, for so He commanded, and their love for the land and the people of Israel, with the attendant dream of restoring Zion in both the mundane and the messianic sense, which pervades their daily prayers, the rhythm of their holidays, and their rites of passage from cradle to grave. And yet, to fearlessly walk the streets of Europe, the parents of a 21st century born Jewish child must henceforth forego his circumcision, make him renounce the outward signs of Jewish devotion, raise him as a vegetarian lest he break his ancestors' dietary laws, deny him a Jewish education to increase his chances to live to adult age, and let him become imbued with a hatred for the country where half his co-religionists live and his ancestors came from or yearned to return to. This is not a joke. It is what Europe increasingly has become for Jews. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.